Hey, everybody. Welcome into episode number 150. This week, we're doing our annual end of the season campfire episode. We got everybody in studio from the Fall Pursuit crew and obviously the podcast crew. Got to talk about the season that we had. Season two of Fall Pursuit, the Bucks got to tell the stories of the Bucks we killed, some of the ones we didn't. Blake and Dusty both were on for the first time since they killed their Bucks. So they got to tell you guys the story on those if you didn't see the episodes. Dusty's, one of his was just a recovery, so he hadn't had a chance to really tell the story of it yet. And then we got into a lot of other different stuff as well. Of course, just kind of like sitting around the campfire at hunting camp, telling stories at the end of the season. That's what we like to do with this episode. Always, it's a lot of fun for us to sit around and do that. So I hope you guys enjoy it too. But let's get into it on episode 150. This is the Ridge Hunter Outdoors Podcast. Have anything planned other than I'm sure we'll talk about your guys' giant bucks that you've killed and
or missed.
So that's, yeah, I'm thinking I'm gonna put together like a video of the shots that we've had over the last couple years now that we have some on camera. And I was debating on whether or not I should put the autofocus buck in there, but I think I will. Oh, you're good.
Jury can still be out on that one.
It'll probably go in. We have enough now where it doesn't. It'll stand out, but it won't. In a good way, maybe. A little comic relief, if you will.
Yeah, I don't know. I shot over one pretty bad this year, and then I got a meme from him.
From who?
From you.
From me? What was it?
Something like, oh, don't show that. Oh, don't put that on there. Oh, you can't do that.
I don't even remember that.
Does that sound familiar?
No, it really doesn't.
Yeah, oh, crap.
I really don't remember that. But we didn't have to use it anyway, so. That was, honestly, after hearing somebody else talk about it, it was right there at last light in the blind. I wonder if you weren't looking over your peep through the gap instead of through the peep. Because that would... Because it was like 3 or 4 foot over her back.
Yikes.
Yeah.
It was seriously bad.
And she was only 20 yards
20
away.
Yards, yeah.
So it's not like even if you were using your 30-yard pin, it should have went. It should have probably still hit her, you know. But it was. So I wondered if maybe you weren't looking through the, like looking over your peep.
I did notice one thing when you're old and blind like me, that it gets dark in them blinds pretty early.
Oh, yeah. It's hard to see anything in there. That GoPro is about useless. Almost after sunset in the blinds.
Mm-hmm.
But I was able to see enough to know that, like, the anchor or nothing was, and it ain't like, I didn't see anything that should have made the shot like that, and I didn't see a big slice in the blind where you hit it or anything.
No, I didn't hit the blind.
That was the only thing I could come up with.
But, you got multiple pins, don't you? Fixed
yes.
Pins. You ain't got a slider or nothing.
No.
Yeah. There's a guy at home. I will let him remain nameless, but he said he was shooting like 80 or 100 yards in his yard before he went hunting because he does that pretty regular.
It's not your neighbor, is it? Just directly west?
No, he is further west.
Okay.
He lives across the creek, but we'll stop there.
Okay.
Anyway, he said he went out and he was just sitting on a bucket in this spot where he knew he could kill a doe. And he said, here she came right on the path, 18 yards. He thought, this is going to be okay, you know. He pulled back when she got behind some trees, and she stopped, and he shot. He said, I know it cleared her back by at least 4 foot.
And he said, mine wasn't quite that bad.
He said, I'm in the woods, and he said, I never even heard the thing hit anything. He said, it was just silent after the shot, and then she's looking right at me. But yeah, and he said he looked at that pin, and it was on like 80 or 100, whatever he was shooting. He's like, well, that explains that.
Uh-huh. I've almost done that several times. I've been out practicing at like 60 yards and had the slider on 60 yards and then went and not checked until well into the hunt and thought, I wonder what my pin's on. Or just look up and see it or be like filming my bow and be like, oh, shoot. I'm glad something didn't come in at 20 yards real quick because I'd have done exactly that. I'd have skipped one off the pond there at the cabin if they'd been on the bank.
If they're under you, like right under you, it'd be fine.
Yeah.
because target archery, that's what we do. We, if there's, because they like to set targets at like 3 feet.
Mm-hmm.
If you crank your sight up to like, I think it's like, mine would be like 47, 48.
Mm-hmm.
It hits where you're aiming.
Really?
Mm-hmm. It's the way the angles and all that
right.
trigonometry crap, I don't understand.
And whatever they call that.
Is that why you carry a protractor in your bag?
Measuring things.
Yeah, that's all these people you see their hat, like their backpack dumps or whatever, and their essential equipment for going to the tree stand, he's got a ruler and a protractor in his.
The ruler. He's doing way too much in a tree stand besides not, I guess.
Never know. Finally got wrapped up with fall pursuit there on, well, the 13th. I killed my buck, but that's another thing I was thinking about the other day. I was going through after that one posted. Maybe it was yesterday, I guess. And we had dead bucks on 5 of the 11 thumbnails for the episodes this year. So I thought we did considerably better than last year. Because they were all also on camera.
Mm-hmm.
All the ones that were in the thumbnails, the shot was on camera. That was a big goal heading into the year. I think we did a lot better with that. I didn't count all the does. We had you shot a doe and I shot two does. So we had 8. I guess 8 kills on camera, and then we had Dawson's recovery, Kelby's recovery, and yours on those 3 bucks too.
Nate's recovery. Oh yeah, he
his was on camera. Video.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
He actually took the camera and the camera arm.
It was an all around success.
Yeah.
I contributed a miss on a pretty good buck.
Yeah, then we had that. Just like last year.
I'm probably always going to be decent for that.
The timing of all that, because, and it wasn't the same deer like last year, I guess, but mm-hmm. if we go on like anywhere from November 14th to 17th and sit that tree, you're probably going to miss something, and then you're going to kill something in second gun season. So maybe that's like the,
you know,
the formula.
I wouldn't take him though, because the missing thing sucks.
I've never seen him hit anything with a bow. It could be me.
So you're saying there is a problem.
It could be me.
Well, come to think of it, we've never killed anything when we've been on the area.
No, we haven't.
So it is
there's
you.
There is a contributing factor here.
I promise if there's bad luck to go around, I've got it. And I will give it to anybody. Because when you guys go, you seem to kill stuff. So.
No. I had my fair shares of whoopsies.
But hey, your buck, I mean, late season, you're grinding it out. He stepped out there. You moved the camera at full draw with your elbow, correct?
Yeah.
Smoked him. And then half of his rack falls apart.
Uh-huh. Of course.
Yeah. I mean, that. And you were alone. It was going to be completely your luck, whatever it was going to be.
Yeah, and it finally.
And it was
at
all
least,
perfect.
Yeah.
The sigh of relief right when you realize yeah. you smoked him. Yeah. Just as good as you smoking the deer.
That's. I told him, that. I don't know if I told you guys, that was the first deer that I've killed and recovered in 5 years. So that was like, finally. Like, I knew on that one that he was dead. But yeah, that was, I was texting you guys in the group chat. You can see that arrow fly goofy. And I've been making fun of people lately because, not because that happened, because that happens, right? But they'll do that, and then they'll put it in like super slow-mo, 120 frames per second, and they'll use it for an advertisement, or they'll put it in like their intro to their episode. And I'm like, I don't know if I'd do that. You know, I don't know if Hoyt Archery wants me to cut this ad for him with my arrow.
Hey,
going
don't be
like
knocking
that.
Hoyt. That's just in Matthew's tunes.
Well, my problem was just what you said. I had the gloves on anyway because it's like 23 or 24 degrees,
it's cold,
with a little bit of wind, and of course, self-filming. You're holding your bow and the camera,
mm-hmm.
so it wasn't like I could put my hands in my pockets and wait till the last second or whatever. So I'm filming him as he's coming down. Launch controller wasn't working naturally, so I'm using the zoom on the camera, and I got to move everything, right? And so I've got the mittens on anyway, which is hard enough to get the bow seated right. And then I get to full draw because I think he's going to cut that corner pretty quick, like as he's coming. And he heard or saw me move a little bit because he stopped as soon as I went to full draw. but then he didn't think anything of it, and he kept going. Well, he cut that corner even faster than I thought he was going to, and he got behind that tree, so I'm at full draw, and I reached down with my elbow and bumped the camera over and then got settled back on him. So I know there's no telling where that bow was in my hand by the time I finally squeezed the shot off, and I'm sure that's why the arrow was all over the place. But it found where it needed to go.
That's right.
So that's all that mattered.
Maybe that was the secret sauce you needed all the time.
Maybe. I had to be fumbling with the camera and...
torquing your bow.
Evidently.
Yeah.
Yeah. The last one, I don't know what happened on that one. It was the one that I shot with you.
Mm-hmm.
The one directly before that, I looking straight southwest when the sun was going down. So I really don't know what happened to that arrow.
Mm-hmm.
And then the one prior hit him low and back, and I don't know why. I was fumbling with the camera that day, but maybe I wasn't torquing the bow. Or maybe I was. But anyway, it was nice to finally see one hit exactly where it's supposed to on a buck, because it's been a while since I've seen it and known it, you know? Like the one that was, I was looking in the sun, the arrow was tracking good. I thought it should have hit him pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
But it wasn't like, yeah, he's dead. Same way like the one that I shot with you, even though the arrow tracked really good and where it hit him should have been good, I saw it kick goofy and I couldn't tell if it had went through him and hit the ground and like laid over. So in my head, I was still like, eh, I don't know. Turns out I was right. Who knows where that deer ended up? But it was nice. Yeah, that big sigh of relief is nice to finally just see one right through there where it's supposed to go. Man. And it made an impressive hole in that dude's rib bone.
Mm-hmm.
Just kind of, I was telling him before you guys got here, we cut him up today and straight center punched his rib cage, and you could see all four blades from the broadhead pretty much in that rib bone, and went, broke his other shoulder. So
yeah.
Stingers?
Yeah. Yep.
With bleeders?
With the bleeders, yeah. Yep. Which, that's the thing, like we've talked about with the two blade stuff. I wonder if I'd have squared that. If I'd have squared that rib bone up with like a sever, what would happen?
That's not to bash nothing, but I would bash the living crap out of severed broadheads.
You had some bad luck.
Then things suck.
Well, that's why
there were two does this year had rough evenings,
and neither of them found.
But that's the thing. Like you could look like you smoked that deer, hit it where I did. Square up a rib bone, and then who knows where that thing might go.
The second doe I shot was with the hybrid, with the fixed blades, or for bleeders, and then an inch and a half expandable.
Yeah.
Didn't find blood for 150 yards.
Crazy.
That was just one little tiny pin, and I smoked her.
Yeah.
Just like that first one.
Crazy.
Never again.
I don't blame you. I wouldn't either. And that's one of those things that, like, even if you didn't know you smoked them, right? If you had two bad experiences in a row like that with the same thing, you're not going to have confidence in it anyway. Like, you might as well switch to something else.
Yeah.
Sticking to dead meats.
I mean, yeah. Why wouldn't you? I mean, I've had enough bad experiences by now. If I went away from all of them, I'd be shooting old Indian rocks at them.
You tried field points yet?
No. I have not. You're not. Someone was telling me, was it you? Someone said you're not even supposed to take those out to the field. You're supposed to have broadheads? I don't know if that's true or not.
That is what an old man at the bow shop said.
They never lie.
I have never heard an old man lie.
Especially at a bow shop.
Correct.
Especially at that bow shop.
That bow shop.
That bow shop you're talking about. Never.
But no, I was just walking around like in the furthest back corner looking at some of the stuff that they kind of migrate back there, you know.
You do the same thing in video stores, don't you, back in the day?
I don't even have a VCR. No, I...
You got a ruler and a protractor?
I was back there in that kind of in the back looking at some of that old stuff that he had back there, and he had some kind of little, it's supposed to be like a judo point, you know, but I don't know. He had it for like $5. Some kind of little expandable something or other. And I was like, well, I'll take that, you know, because I was out of judo points. I'd broke them all and stuff. So anyway, I picked them up, and he said, you know you can't have those in your quiver when you're hunting, right? I was like, okay. That was exactly what I planned to do right. for squirrels and stuff, you know. And he said, you can't do that. You can't have anything but broadheads in your quiver while you're hunting. I thought, well, I mean, I'm not going to shoot at a deer with this thing, I promise.
Right.
And he said, well, you could grab it accidentally. So they don't want you to have anything but broadheads in your quiver while you're hunting. I did not know that that was specifically a rule. So anyway, I ain't even opened the things up yet. But
yeah.
Old. So what he told me, the old man told
had
me.
Had you even been since you bought them?
No.
Likely not.
He hasn't bow hunted since he missed that one, I don't think. No, we definitely went after that. But
did we?
Yeah.
Well,
we sat that stand again one crappy morning.
Did we?
I don't think we saw what those three does and then the dogs barking at them.
Oh, yeah.
That was after that.
There you go.
The dog days.
Yeah. What do you know about dogs?
Yeah.
We don't have to get too detailed or nothing.
He won't even look at you.
Yeah, dogs are not fun having.
Sore subject.
Especially dogs that don't belong to anybody.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Nate's got a pack of them too, but they belong to people. But they don't chase deer.
Wonder if they look like coyotes.
I mean, that could happen. Could happen. Probably it won't, though, I'm sure. That would never happen.
Law-abiding citizens.
That's right. We're not. Nate won't even take a field tip to the stand anymore.
Attaboy.
And that's just based off of hearsay. We've talked about your buck, right? You've been on since then. I think you got to tell the story about that one.
Surely.
I think you were on.
Surely.
One time.
Yeah.
But you haven't. Yours was
the man with two gets
no
the first.
Yours was before his and we haven't talked about the first one yet, even on the podcast. If you guys watch the show, for those of you listening, episode 2, Dusty killed his bow buck this year, and you haven't been on to talk about it since. So we'll back all the way up. What was it, October 8th, 10th?
I honestly like can't remember.
I know
somewhere
that
like, something like around the 6th or 8th or something.
Yeah,
like
yeah. Real early.
Yeah.
Towards the end of the first week, something like that. Our partners at Flambeau Outdoors have some of the best solutions in the industry for your decoy and storage needs. They're focused on innovation that matters, and they build their products to last. They're probably most known for their whitetail, waterfowl, and turkey decoys, and that's for good reason. They've got a lot of quality options at great price points in each category. The Boss Buck is a personal favorite of mine in their whitetail line, and I've been throwing their Stormfront mallards in front of duck blinds for years now. Don't sleep on their storage solutions either, though. Whether it's fishing tackle, firearms, ammo, or archery equipment, they've got you covered. They just stepped up their archery storage game, too, with the new Formula Bow Case. It might just be the best bow case on the market. We've been using ours for several months now, and I'm continually impressed with the ease of use and security they provide. Make the most of your time outdoors with Flambeau. Realism that gets results.
Basically, in the video, you know, I just was going out to... Over 100 acres of soybeans, just kind of seeing what was coming out. The spot where I was at, those bucks actually had been coming out. Where everything had been after dark and stuff. And so I was just kind of a scouting area to see what was going to come out for youth season coming up. And I sent you a picture of, like, I wish I had, like, cut some shooting lanes here first. Because I had, like, one hole to shoot through. And which it was... It was a pretty good spot, but they had to walk right there.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, it was getting late. And I'd seen a couple deer that was probably good enough for Dawson, you know. So I was happy with what came out.
Mm-hmm.
And I heard something to my left. And when I hear something, it's close.
He's in bow range. Yeah. Where's he at?
Well within range if I hear it.
Right.
And more or less, it was like less than 8 yards underneath me.
Uh-huh.
And I just seen the one side.
I can't believe you didn't get more pre-roll. Yeah.
We're lucky we got any. But, yeah, I mean, I was lucky that I just had the camera in that one hole.
Yeah. Why wouldn't you, though? It's the only place you're going to shoot him.
Yeah. So anyways, he came out, and anyways, I tried to stop him once, and then he just kept going. And then I really think that he was walking out to another buck in the field.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, he had that funky walk, like, people like were saying he had diseases and all kinds of stuff, you know,
right?
And comments and stuff. But I really think if you look at him in the video, his ears were laid back, and I just think he really he had a kind of a a mad strut going out there because
a lot of people kept saying he's blind. Like, I don't think he's blind.
No.
He didn't walk into a single thing.
Exactly.
He walked into an arrow.
Yeah. So, anyways, I kind of thought I knew what deer it was, and but it was one of those that you just see it, and you're like, ah, he's big enough, you know? I mean, huge-bodied deer, too. And anyways, I shot, and made a really good shot on him, and he didn't go too far and went down.
Yeah, you talk about drilling him.
It has been years since I've gotten excited like that, actually. I mean, it has been, I can remember the last deer that I got excited like that, and it was a real wide deer. But that's been 7 or 8 years, maybe more.
Yeah.
I just almost got to where it was just shooting a deer, you know, and taking the kids got me more into it, you know, watching them kill them. I'd get real excited. I mean, I'd get worked up with a buck coming in and stuff, but this one here, for some reason, I think it's because of everything worked out, but it has been years since it actually got me back into it, feeling, you know, again.
That camera thing just adds an extra.
I think that's what it was. I mean, because I knew I had it on film and everything, and I think that's really what it was. But, yeah, it was a pretty special moment, really. I mean, it's been a long time since I've got that feeling, you know.
Right. Yeah, and that's what gets you into it in the first place,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And that's kind of why you do it, why you keep going back.
Right, right.
For that one... For when it does come back or what does happen. But I think, like...
And, I mean, it's always good and it's a deer you know.
You're right.
You know, the year before we'd seen him, he was kind of messed up. And, I mean, he was messed up this year, too, still a little bit. But he actually grew a rack on out, you know.
I mean,
he kind of finished it last year. He was more just kind of straight up.
And then he broke that.
Yeah, he was a fighter. He was... One side was really big. I mean, he had... Like 26, over 26 inch main beams and 13 inch tines. I mean, he was a.
Had he matched, because he would have been a straight, if he matched both sides and been a 10, a clean 10, he would have been like.
He was like 172 something, I think.
Yeah.
He figured it.
Yeah. Because even with his bad side, he went right at 150.
Right at 150.
Yeah. Yep. I mean,
yep.
And last year, had he matched, he'd have been a hammer of an 8-point. He wouldn't have made it to this year had he matched last year. Yeah. I'll tell you that right now.
The deer, he had more, he didn't have like palmated mass, but he had the banana mass.
Yep.
So he was actually really heavy. You picked up the rack there at the house. I got a European mount of him. He's a heavy horned deer. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's pretty dense and everything. So, I mean, he was a super nice deer.
Yep.
I mean,
good bodied sized deer too, because you could appreciate how big and how mass. The mass you're talking about even more on the Euro mount than like the night you killed him.
Yeah.
Sitting there looking at him because he was pretty long deer.
Yeah, he was a long deer. We actually put him on scales. He was 238 dressed. So, yeah. I mean,
he was a big deer.
I mean, like I said, he was super long. You know? Now you get the weight on them long deer.
Mm-hmm. That's something that we were talking about out there. That deer that I shot was not a huge body deer. Like I weighed him up. I weighed everything here. The only thing I didn't weigh on him was like the legs, so I'm giving him a little bit for that. But he'd been like right at 150 pounds live weight.
Yeah.
But there's just something about him.
I would like to say that I would be a lot skinnier if I couldn't eat too.
Well, yeah, I think that has a lot to do with that deer for sure, and a lot to do with his rack. Like we talked about over the years, just looking at him, this probably is as good a rack as he's had. But I still, when I first saw him, I was like, that's a mature deer. Because I think at some point, once they get to a certain age, it's like their features stand out as much as their body weight.
I mean,
does.
He still had a big forehead on him, and he actually had a big head on him. You know?
And he had his gut was sagging. Like, for what was there, he had a saggy belly on him.
Yeah,
and
he was kind of dwarfed.
Yeah, right?
You're probably way off the list.
You and them dwarf deer.
Yeah.
Too.
Yeah. That knocked about 10 pounds off old Peter over there. But no, I thought it was... interesting. And same thing, the other deer that I saw that night was a little more traditionally like mature deer though. You like mm-hmm. you just look at them and tell a bigger body, but something about them, once you do it for a while or you've seen them, you know, it's like, yeah, that's a mature deer, even though yeah. he's not a 250-pound deer. But
yeah.
that one you shot, he had the traditional, like, big body.
Oh, yeah.
And you had history with him, obviously, yeah. too. But he's a deer you'd look at and go, yeah, he is a mature deer.
Oh, yeah.
5.5+.
Yeah, I mean, he's just a – he was. I mean, the length of him and everything like that, and mm-hmm. the width from his spine to his gut and chest, I mean, he was big.
Yep.
He's a big deer.
Yeah. That was your first buck mm-hmm. of the season, which, again – we had pictures of him last year. We actually filmed him there late season last year with that little broken side. And he had a little knot on his forehead and some pedicle damage
yeah.
end up what it, you know, what it was.
Yeah.
It looked like.
Yeah. He
that caused
he
that to grow like
it,
that.
Yeah.
At some point in his life, mm-hmm. he'd obviously injured that. And it never really came back.
Yeah. And that's one thing I have noticed, like on, especially that farm, several mature deer on it. And a lot of times I think, you know, when they're getting ready to shed, they'll bust. And then once they bust down the pedicle, it seems like the next year they never come back the same.
Yeah.
Dawson's deer, pretty much. I'm about positive I had pictures of that deer the year before as a big 10.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he damaged his somehow too.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, he was a really, really nice deer. Mm-hmm. The other side was just messed up.
He was a big bodied deer too.
Yes, he was.
Man,
that deer had a huge neck for
oh yeah
the time of the year that he shot that thing.
Well, it was a weekend like 12, 13, 14 somewhere
yeah,
in there,
somewhere right around there.
You could see on the video in that when you guys had him laying there and he had his head turned up back towards him, like yeah. just the mass on the thing's
that's
neck.
That's the probably the biggest neck deer I've seen that early in the year.
And if he'd have mashed, he'd have been. I mean, he was a stud anyway. He's right there at 150 the way he was, wasn't he?
Something he like actually, he scored 148 as what he was.
Yeah.
You know.
With basically three.
Yeah, yeah.
Three beams coming
and,
out of his
I
left
mean,
side.
Yeah, basically I took a G1 and a G2 measurement,
mm-hmm.
you know. The other side scored 76 inches, I think.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it was pretty good size, a lot of mass.
Yeah.
You know.
Yep. Yeah, you guys knocked him out early, got us rolling pretty good.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
then we had a little bit of a drought after that till your buck, which was November 6th.
Daddy Trump Day.
Well, yeah, which was apparently a pretty good day this year. We yeah, talked about one day that you had a bunch of pictures in there in December.
Yeah.
But the 6th, a guy we know, your buddy, killed two deer?
He killed one
He killed one the evening and then one.
The evening and then one the 7th. Morning. Right. No.
Or the
Derek
other
killed,
way around.
Derek killed one the morning of the 6th. I killed one the morning. Jeremy killed one the evening, then went and killed another one the next evening.
Yeah. And there was several I saw several different people that killed him on the 6th.
You had somebody at your place killed a good one that morning too.
Aaron.
Yeah.
Oh, yep.
Aaron killed it non-typical.
Yep.
Tate killed like a 180 something.
Mm-hmm.
Really?
That's the evening that I passed the hold horn.
Yep.
That deer.
Yep.
There was deer all over that evening in there, too.
That deer's going to be a stud.
I think so. He's got the frame where he's just got those big, long tines that
he does.
Kind of pencil thin. Mm-hmm. He could really blow up.
Yeah.
I hope he does.
And then this late season, I had a deer come in. It was actually probably a 4 or 5 year old, maybe an older deer, but I sent you guys pictures of him, I think, that mm-hmm. had the real long tines and mm-hmm. the kickers. That was a big 8-pointer.
Yeah.
I mean, he had some tines on him.
Yeah.
But that deer, it reminded me of the deer, the hole in the horn, you uh-huh. know, because...
Similar frame.
Yeah, I had about kind of the same frame.
I bet that deer did have at least 10-inch twos, maybe 12-inch twos,
yeah,
honestly.
Yeah, probably 12. I had him around me one evening, and they were pretty long.
I mean, I remember thinking that when he was in there, like... His twos look like they might be a foot long.
Yeah.
But he just didn't have any mass.
No.
You know, I think he scored real similar to that one out there.
Yeah.
I mean, they're real similar. He's a little bit wider maybe, but probably 125 yeah. inches, I would guess.
He's one of them deer that just better not step off our ground. Or he'll yeah. be like the first one you passed up.
Yep. He'll die. Yeah, that 9-pointer ended up getting killed. He was...
Oh, that deer had a super nice frame.
Yeah, he was... Well, he was in the shop, and I was... the deer that I'd filmed in his little apple orchard, I don't know if I sent you guys a picture of it or not when I realized it, but guy had killed him and brought him in, and I was cutting antlers off, for they were had a caped and skin to come pick up, and I was cutting antlers off back there, and I was going through them. You don't really think much about them while you're doing it, because you do so dang many of them. And but that one, I was like, man, that looks kind of like the deer that was at Dusty's, because he had like little acorns, one on his beam and one on one of his tines, I think, if I remember right. Yeah. And he was a 9-pointer, dark horned. I was like, there's surely not two that are that similar, but I couldn't remember exactly where his little acorns were at. So I went back and looked at the video, and sure enough, it was him. That 3.5-year-old 9-pointer, he was 120s,
yeah,
probably.
Yeah,
he wasn't real tall, but he had good mass. He was wide, had good beams. Didn't have a ton of height, but he would have been mid-20s probably.
Yep.
And he could have been a hammer deer too.
Yeah, yeah. I think there's a younger guy that killed him, right?
Yeah.
So he probably tickled to death with him.
Oh, yeah. Younger, like, out-of-state guy, you know, like that's same thing there that my Mr. Potential Buck that we were talking about, the one you've got, and then that other, the mainframe, what was he? 8x6? 6x7 with a split 2 on one side. That was 3.5. They ended up getting killed by a kid from Tennessee in youth season this year. I think he was 15. And like, I can't blame the kid for, you know, 15 years old being from Tennessee, that thing's a freaking giant, you know?
I shot him when I was 15.
Oh, yeah. I'd have missed him when I was 15. I'd have been real excited about it. But, yeah, I'm sure for that kid, I mean, it was a giant. But that's what part of it, you know?
Oh, it is, yeah.
I mean, you can't be the guy that shoots him saying that your neighbor's going to if you don't, though, you know?
Yeah.
Because then they'd never have a chance.
Right.
At that point, you're that neighbor.
Right. I mean, if you kill him, they're definitely not going to make it. So... But it does happen, and hopefully that deer, which he was still around there towards the end of the season. So
I got a picture of him 2 days ago.
Did you?
Yeah.
I think he'll, because when I saw him in person, I thought he could have been 4.5, but after seeing the pictures and looking more, he could be 3.5.
Yeah.
I mean, so even next year, even if he was a small bodied 4.5-year-old, like next year at 5.5, he could blow up, or 3 to 4, he especially could make a nice jump.
Yeah, it seems like about every mature deer except one that we had early made it.
Yeah.
I mean, that wide one that was real heavy with the short G3s, he's alive.
Yeah.
The old 10 that's going to be 10.5 years old next year, he was still alive.
Yeah. Hopefully he makes it through the winter. If there's anything that kills that deer now, it'd be that.
Yeah.
But he looked healthy.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know what kind of condition his teeth's in. But
right. Not like that one that was all hunched up.
Yeah, that deer, I sent you guys a picture, I think, of him the other day. He'd shed, and boy, he looked really, he looked
really bad. Like, I filmed that deer. I think he must have liked my smell or something, because he was right underneath me 2 different times in there in totally different places.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, he's actually hitting his rack against a stand.
He was.
Yeah.
Yep.
He was.
I sent you guys all a Snapchat. I had him in the viewfinder there, and then he's down there. He was nibbling on some leaves down there, or that honeysuckle or whatever it was under the stand, and his antlers were hitting the stand. Really nice framed 8-pointer. Like, if he was healthy, he could be a really nice deer too. But he was a wide deer, you know. And then there's that other wide 8-pointer that me and you saw right at 7 yards that night.
Oh yeah,
Blake, we're sitting there in the blind, and we already had a doe come past, like from me to Nate, and we're both in there like this, like, don't move. And then you could, as dry and as quiet as it was, like you said about hearing them, they got to be right there. You'd have thought we'd have heard them early. But it was like, we're just sitting there and there's nothing. We'd watched a few deer. Most of the action had kind of taken a pause after those does worked their way through. Mm-hmm. So we're sitting there not seeing a bunch of anything. And there's probably 15 minutes left. And you just hear a little crunch, crunch. And it sounds like it's right outside of the blind. And we looked at each other. And I just reached down to grab my bow, and as soon as I got my hand on the bow, he goes, "Big buck, big buck." Because he was right there.
They look really big when you're underneath them, too.
Especially when he's... right? Especially when he's like 18, 19 inches wide.
Yeah.
At 7 yards.
Like you said, underneath of him.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he came out, and he had to look right at us. It must have just been dark enough that he couldn't see in there too good.
He was looking into us.
Oh, yeah. He was looking through us.
Yeah.
And I just froze. And I was like, is he a shooter? He was like, I don't know. And he's trying to get the camera up, and he finally does. And I got my bow in my hand, and I could kind of finally peek around, because he was to my left. I was on the right side of the blind. That deer come out on the right, so he could see him well before I could. And I finally, he got out there enough where I could see him. I was like, he's not a shooter, is he? And he, you could hear Blake on the camera. He goes, no, he's not a shooter. But you can hear old Blake breathe on the camera as he's making a scrape at like 6 yards. That was that was one of the coolest encounters I had this year. That was to be on the ground like that. Yeah, it was pretty cool.
He made it too.
Did he?
I got pictures of him the other day too.
Good deal.
Yep.
I don't know if I could have done it again though. Another deer. I'd be freaking out.
Yeah. Man, it does make you think though, like you could easily shoot a deer like that.
Oh yeah.
And think he's a giant.
Yep.
And then ground shrinkage, right? But like at 6 yards, a 19-inch wide, 3.5-year-old deer walks out right at last light. I mean, how do you blame a guy for thinking it was a...
I mean, he had good mass, too.
He did. Yeah, it wasn't like he was like that other one. I mean, he was...
You know,
maybe. Yeah. But I'll segue wide buck to wide buck here. Yours, we was talking about on the 6th. The morning, you took a little bit of a chance and got in there amongst them.
Yeah.
To use your words.
That was wild.
If you're like most hunters out there, at some point, you've dreamed of having a piece of hunting ground to call your own. Maybe you finally decided to make those dreams a reality. If so, you need to talk to our guy, Rodney Hawkins. Rodney is a land specialist with Midwest Farm and Land. If you haven't heard of them, they aren't your average real estate company. While they do deal in traditional residential and commercial real estate, their specialty is recreational and farm ground. With agents like Rodney serving across the state of Illinois, no matter what you're looking for, they can find it. Even if you want to sell what you already have to upgrade, downgrade, reinvest, whatever, they've got you covered. For more information, you can contact Rodney at 618-925-3153, and he'll get you taken care of. On top of what he does for MFL, Rodney also has his own company called RG Outdoors. They currently carry hard and soft-sided blinds, blind chairs, tree stands, and cameras from Radix Hunting, Tacticam trail cameras, Fission e-bikes, and he's adding new stuff all the time. I've personally used all of these products, and I'm beyond happy with every one of them. The Fission e-bike is a game changer, and you will not find a better one for the price. If you're interested in anything RG Outdoors has to offer, you can send them a message to their Facebook page, RG Outdoors, email them at rgoutdoors@yahoo.com, or again, just call Rodney directly at 618-925-3153. Yeah, that was a pretty...
Have you ever pushed in that hard before?
No.
While hunting?
No.
Okay. <'Cause> Yikes. Oh, man. Because we had talked before about
definitely
you.
Never that deep.
He's quick to say no, so.
But anyway.
We had talked many times about how the catalog was just completely off limits, except for doing with a gun what you have done before.
Which is fun.
And slip in there and just top those ridges. But we never thought you could do it with a bow and get in there with them and really hunt them. Mm-hmm. And the wind was perfect for you to try that.
Well, the whole recipe was just perfect for it.
Yeah, and it obviously paid off.
What was it, the fourth and fifth? It just rained all day.
Yep, mm-hmm. It was wet.
Just you super wet.
You were watching them in there. Mm-hmm. You were sitting across the hayfield and you were watching them in there. A buck you wanted to, multiple bucks you would have killed were in there with does, and you knew you needed to try to get in there, and it was mm-hmm. perfect for you, too.
There were
was,
3 or 4 bucks right in there you would have shot this year.
At least four.
Four. The Big Ten, the one I shot, Shadow Patch, which ended up the one I was actually after that morning.
Yeah.
Then the 8-pointer. Mm-hmm. The splits. We're not going to talk about that.
We don't have to talk about that.
But yeah, I went in there. Let's see. That morning, we did a podcast that morning, or that after that morning hunt that me and Nate hunted, and we seen that one.
Yep.
I went to that stand and got absolutely soaked. And
oh yeah, we hunted in the rain.
Yeah, and I went back that afternoon and hunted that tree stand where that buck was. I was thinking about maybe shooting mm-hmm. that 8-pointer with that dark head.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Ended up seeing a whole bunch of activity. And gotten pictures on the north end of that wooded draw. I could see up there, and I could see a big body deer, and I didn't know which what it was because it's 500 yards away.
Right.
Can't make it out. But then it was confirmed it was Shadow Patch, that big 7-pointer. So I'm like, yeah, I'm shooting that deer.
Mm-hmm.
Like, people are going to laugh. It's just a 7-pointer. This 7-pointer's 120.
He's a
100 high 120s.
Easily five and a half year old.
He's a 5 year old, and he's always been a 7 pointer.
No, that 2 years ago he was an 8 pointer.
Oh, was it?
And he broke.
Oh.
Remember?
Yeah.
And because I got a shed, and he did what he was just talking about, breaking off his pedicle, and he grew back funny last year. He had like a little weird main beam on that one side, and it's just a 3 point side. But he grew back a normal rack on this side, but it's just a 3 point. So he's a 7 pointer. He was big bodied deer.
Oh,
huge,
yeah.
Huge body. Well, I actually got video of him in my food plot.
Yep.
And passed him that one morning in that food plot to the south where that blind's at. But anyway, it was after him that morning. I slipped in there because I hunted there the next morning, seen him, got a bump of doe across into Travis's. And I was like, he's going to come back out there this evening. And maybe he'll come over here where all the does have been. Because I've been having 10 does in this food plot. He's got to come scent check them. If he doesn't have one locked down. Because he pushed a whole herd back into the thicket south. So he, sure enough, he came out that evening. Pouring down rain again. Like, I'm not getting soaked. I also wore my waders and duck coat. So everyone was complaining about me being wet and stuff. And here I am just dry and happy.
That's the time you didn't take the camera, right?
Yeah.
Because it was raining so hard.
Yeah.
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 Which should have been when you killed him. I mean, that would have been...
that would have been par for the course.
Yeah.
I almost did. He got to 100 yards.
Yeah.
Yeah. But he wasn't leaving the ginormous doe herd. Like, the one time the does don't come out of the cattle plot, or the cattle lot, and work to this stinking food plot here...
Right.
...is the night that he's there with them.
Of course.
Yeah. I'm like, that's just par for the course for me. Mm-hmm. But anyway, so I'm like, it's time to go. Like, the recipe's there. Everything's quiet. Because it's rained for two straight days. And it's going to be, the wind's going to be good for me to slip in there.
There was like, almost no wind that morning, right? Like it was pretty.
Yeah, it was calm.
Yeah.
But there was, the way the wind direction was, that what little it was perfect for me to get in there.
Right.
So
I
got
it. I mean, as calm as it was, you probably thermal was working for you as much as anything, too.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, even without the wind.
It was warm that morning, too.
Yeah, it was it was warming up.
Mm-hmm.
Because you were sweating pretty good after hanging hunting there.
Yeah. I slipped in there early. I think I got in there. I was set by 5 o'clock.
Yeah.
Because I was like, I got in there early, took my time, and was set.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it took a little bit, and deer finally started filtering in there.
One thing, too, that you probably had going for you getting in was, it was foggy as crap that morning, too. I don't know if it was when you were walking in or not.
It lifted quick, and it wasn't when I was walking in.
Yeah.
But it was just foggy for just a slight little bit. But anyway, things got wild quickly after... I don't know, 20 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Deer just everywhere. Just everywhere. Like, I bet the video does not do it justice how many deer I've seen.
Right.
I bet I've seen 30 deer.
Mm-hmm.
And they were just all around me. Ended up having does work the ridge up to me and got underneath me. There's 5 of them right underneath me. They just knew something wasn't right. And they were just all of a sudden just looking at the trees, everything around them. They look up at me and just. Back down, I'm just sitting, sucking up to this tree as tight as I can get. I'm like, what was that, 12 foot?
Maybe, yeah.
Yeah, I was
right
just,
around there.
I got to this cover.
Definitely not 15, like
no.
You were 10 to 12, I would say.
Yeah, I wasn't tall at all.
Yep.
I think I only used 3 sticks, and they were close.
Mm-hmm.
But I was in some cover, so which was my
what
goal
you need.
Was.
Yeah.
Got in there. They just eventually worked off. They didn't care. Like, they just... meandered off into the thicket to the north. Then I had more does come from the south, and they ended up bedding underneath me and behind me the whole morning. So I'm just stuck there, just standing like sucked up against this tree the whole time. And to the north, about 150 yards, I can just see deer just moving everywhere. And eventually I caught a glimpse of the buck I shot. He was up in there. I seen other bucks too. There was that one buck that pushed some does to the south. That tight rack buck with... I think he had tall brow tines.
The one that ended up bedding down out in front of you that you got video of?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He bedded there the whole time. Mm-hmm. So I had him at 45 yards. Still can't move, and I got deer behind me.
Right.
Then,
he was honestly a pretty nice deer for what he was.
Mm-hmm. He is nice. I'm hopeful for him.
Yeah.
Right before, I caught a glimpse of that buck I shot. Then after that, I had a fawn do crazy, stupid psycho laps through that whole entire feedlot.
They do.
Yeah, it took 3 ginormous laps and just started running as fast as it could. And I was like, I'm curious as what these deer are doing that are better right here. And they're just sitting there just watching him race around in circles, just like, what's that idiot doing?
There he goes again.
Yeah, just zoomies. this stupid thing. But I'm like, well, that probably screwed everything up for me. Just, but it didn't, thankfully. I don't know, maybe 10 minutes go by. That fawn, it bedded up back with its mom behind me. And then I caught a glimpse of that buck pushing a doe. That mm-hmm. buck I shot. I'm like, well, crap, he's close. And he's big. I was like, that was one I was wanting to shoot. One I was wanting to shoot. And I'm like, there ain't no way he's going to push her down this way. No way. Sure enough, that's what started happening. I'm like, no way. Then about that time, I can hear that fawn that was doing zoomies get up. And it came right underneath my stand, and it started to eat. The whole time this buck's coming towards me, this thing's eating on one of the straps on the sticks. Because I was like, I'm curious to know what this thing's doing. And I looked down through my platform on my Lone Wolf and just seen that thing just gnawing him on them straps.
Pulls these sticks off the tree. Yeah,
yeah. He's like, I hate this guy.
I'm like, this thing's stupid. But anyway, it took off randomly, just started running again. And no one minded him at that time. At that point, that buck, he was getting closer, and I had my bow in my hand at that point. Thankfully, I was able to do that without that doe bedded behind me. She was 10 yards. One doe, and the other one was like 15.
Mm-hmm.
So he worked closer, and he was going to hit a big hole that I had found, and it was going to be a poke. Something I probably wouldn't do, but I was so worked up at the moment I was going to.
Mm-hmm.
What, looking back on it, that would have been absolutely stupid. But thankfully, that buck that has bedded there, he got up when he pushed that doe there. And that buck got pissed and pushed him off and ran him off. And his doe kept on going down the ridge, but that buck took off to the right, if I remember right.
At what point did the deer take off from underneath of you?
When he's about 100 yards. And just took off north towards his direction.
Because you could hear him take off in the video, and you said something like, gosh dang it, or something like that. And
It was very more explicit than that. I'm glad I didn't pick it up.
Whatever you can hear on the video wasn't bad, because I didn't edit it out. But
Maybe that was going through my mind.
But yeah, I forgot.
It rhymed with buck.
Yeah. I forgot what all happened or where that happened in there, but I do remember the deer taking off running in there somewhere.
Yeah, there was, it got wild there. Mm-hmm. Like, it was nuts. I can't believe it actually happened. But anyway, that buck pushed down closer, and I ranged it at 50, was where I was having my pin at before. And I think he's going to be like 52, so I was getting him a little high. But he moved down, and I ranged it, and it was 45.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like, yep, that's time to go. And sure enough, when I picked up my handrail to release, I bumped the arrow off the string because I picked it up, and I was so anxious, I just punched it forward and de-knocked it. And I'm like, oh, no. And you can see in the video, you hear ding, 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 ding. Yeah. Price is Right going on up here.
The impressive part was how fast you caught it and got it back on the string.
Yeah, I was worked up. I'm like, I got
you. He had taken his Joe Rogan pills that morning. Yeah. Ultra focused.
Yes.
Yeah. I was unable
smelling to salts. I was up there smelling salts.
I was not able to catch mine. It almost hit my doe in the head. Fire.
But yeah, I caught it, able to knock it somehow, and then drew back, and then thankfully he just stopped. Mm-hmm. Didn't have to do nothing, and then he would just have that pocket way too open for me.
Mm-hmm.
And I let it fly. I knew it broke too good. It broke great. And then I'm like, wow, where's the arrow at? Like, I don't see it. The next thing I know, wham, and there's just a hole right there in mm-hmm. that pocket right there. And I'm like, oh, I smoked him.
Yep.
I knew it broke great, but...
Oh, you knew just, right... You just tell you knew right away when it hit him, you had him, though.
Yeah, I'm like, but I just couldn't see the arrow because to see if it was flying good, but...
Well, you couldn't really see it too good on the video. It was just the wrong daylight.
Yeah, the light was, well...
Just right to be wrong.
It's behind me.
Yeah.
Because just straight behind me, the way yep. time it was and everything. But, yeah, he was at 45 yards. I still had my pin set at 50, so I held low. I held right below his brisket.
Mm-hmm.
But...
Hammered him.
He
went probably 60 yards.
Piled up.
Yep.
I mean, not a complete pass through, but it did pass through. The arrow stayed in him, but yeah, got passed through.
Now,
oof,
stirred some controversy. However, I will say this: way more people liked it than didn't like it.
But with the people that didn't, let us know.
They did, but it's also like all they saw was
the short clip.
Yeah, I mean, the whole clip was maybe 45 seconds. So they saw that deer for 15 seconds before you broke that shot, maybe. They didn't see, they didn't know that the doe was running the other direction that he was with. They didn't know that you didn't have a shot over here. You know, like, there were so many people that were like, oh, give him a few more steps. Like, give him a few more steps, he's gone.
Yeah, the few more steps that he would have took would have been turning around.
Right.
And I wouldn't have been able to stop him that quick.
Right.
At broadside, then I've been shooting him around the butt.
Yeah.
But he would have been going back towards that doe and been gone in no time.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he was going that way because he was pushing that buck off. He wasn't going to keep turn gay all of a sudden and just keep chasing the buck.
Right, exactly.
He's not a bisexual. He's straight, obviously. He's chasing a doe the whole time.
Right. So, like, he very easily, like you said, could have just turned and went the other way.
Yeah.
Like, and I've heard Nate say this before, and I'm kind of the same way. Like, shoot that thing the first opportunity you get to shoot him. Like, the first time you're confident you can make the shot, take the shot, because you just don't know.
I did break my golden rule. I always said I'm not going to shoot a deer past 40, and what did I go and do?
Uh-huh. Well, you learned from the best over there. Nate says, I'm never going to shoot a deer inside of 45.
Oh, gosh. That's his money shot.
That's right. Anything inside of that, he's going over their back. I've seen this guy shoot over a deer's back at 40 yards. And I didn't know that was possible.
It was an accident.
Especially with an elite, man. Things barely moving at the speed of smell going down through there, and he shot over its back.
Oh, gosh.
But, yeah, he went and piled up. And
yep. There he was, 150-inch 8-pointer.
Yeah.
Right, well, almost.
I didn't measure him, so I didn't.
Yeah.
I don't care.
I mean, he's right there. Yeah.
Like, it gets me excited. It's good enough for me.
The curl tine 8.
Some people were like, what's he scoring? I'm like, I don't know, and I don't care. Yeah.
Big enough.
Yeah.
He died.
Yeah, he's going to go look good on my wall.
So. That's right.
But, yeah.
He's one of those deer that look good on video, too. He looked good on the camera.
He did.
Big frame.
Yeah, that frame. Them deer that lay out, they look big.
Mm-hmm. Yep. I was excited.
Yep. What do you know about deer looking big on camera, Nate?
Dun, dun, dun.
We have seen them. when we watch them run away.
Yeah. Sometimes with wounds.
Sometimes, and other times they're fine.
Yep. Other times they're fine.
Yep.
Yeah.
Oh, that, mine, I guess, I don't know. He had to have been closer than I thought he was. He had to. If I'd let him get any further, he's going to smell us.
Oh, yeah.
If I'd let him walk any further, he's going to smell us. That was, it's questionable sitting there, you know. Cause
with me, especially.
A lot of those deer end up, I mean, they pretty much always end up cutting that northeast corner of that plot mm-hmm. right there. But anyway, didn't expect him to come from that way either. He had the wind pretty much hitting me in the butt coming in.
Mm-hmm.
It was cloudy that morning, so it was taking it a while to get light. I just turned and looked out there in the plot, and there he was. I was like, oh, shoot. And for a second, we thought he was going to come there in the woods.
I really did. When he started to turn angle towards us, I thought he's going to be right here at 15 yards, and Nate's still going to miss him.
there's high probabilities of that. But, yep, he came across there and just barely skipped it off of his back. If he wouldn't have ducked just a little bit that he did, I would have just hurt him.
Cut a
hole in his meat up there above his spine.
I think he about had to be coming off of a doe.
Yeah, man, I don't know.
Looking for the next one.
Well, when did we? Because we saw him. We had him at 45 or 50.
Not you had him at 45
a couple of days
before.
And
you didn't kill him?
No, he's way too thick.
Didn't have
thick.
No lane. Oh. Yeah. If he'd have went where his doe was, you maybe could have
been your magic number.
Yeah. Yeah.
If we had had a bazooka, we could have killed him that day. Yeah. But, I mean, they was just...
That was a few days before that.
I can't even remember. I'd forgotten about that until right now.
Was that the 18th or the 16th?
I don't know.
And we saw him. Yeah, I have to go back and look. It's on video.
Yep.
But
because, we slipped way down in there in the sprout patch a couple of days before. And I could see that there was what looked to be a good buck over there in those shadows. And then when he came down that hill, there's never deer right there where they were, but he just jammed her up in that funny spot trying to keep everything else away. Because we saw a couple of little bucks swarming over there, didn't we?
Yeah, we had that one six, was it a six pointer?
I can't remember.
That came in from the big woods and went that direction. And then there was another small buck that was up on the hill over there. And then later another one came through and went that direction. But there were two fawns going nuts from that. They came flying out of there. And then we ran back.
All of a sudden I saw him coming down that hill there, and I was like, oh, shoot, it's him. And I was not expecting him to be over there. I was expecting that that trash 8-pointer, like 125, 130-inch, 4-year-old 8-pointer over there. So we know he had a doe a couple of days before I missed him.
Let's give back up a little bit. 135, 140-inch 8-pointer is not a trash 8-pointer.
Nah, 125, maybe 130. He's a 4-year-old. He's a big, ugly deer.
Yeah, he's probably 130.
He's big.
Well, we ended up seeing him.
We are talking to the guy that only shoots booners.
That's true.
No.
The morning you missed yours, we ended up seeing that deer.
Yes.
I got a little bit of video of him.
Yes. And I had him in the crosshairs in first gun season walking out.
And got scared.
I had him in the crosshairs. I was looking at him. I am not going to shoot you with a gun, especially, you know.
Veterans Day was the day he was in there.
Was it?
Yep.
Because you kept saying, he's coming over here. He's coming over here. And if that doe, I'm like, she was headed for the creek crossing, and we would have had a shot for sure.
Yeah, she was at 35 at one point.
Yeah.
And I could have shot her. I don't know if you ever had a line at her, but from my side of the tree, I could have shot her, but it looked like she was going to come right to that crossing.
Yeah.
And
we would have been in at that point. Mm-hmm. She probably would have smelled where we'd have walked, though, if she got over there.
Yeah.
But then,
luckily, they didn't come in too early, though, because I'm looking through here to get the dates, and I'm seeing that it's like 15, 20 minutes after daylight, and there's still no arrow on your bow.
Oh,
I remember getting that Snapchat.
You never know what I'm gonna do.
We went one evening, in that north plot in that blind.
Mm-hmm.
We sat till 4:30. Then he decides he's gonna put an arrow on his bow.
Well, they usually don't come out early anyway.
No,
it was like mid November.
Not when they're getting chased by dogs. Oh gosh. But yeah, I missed him. What, I don't know, Wednesday or Thursday that
14th.
Week. The 14th.
So it was 3 days difference. He was with that doe on the 11th.
Yep.
He was by himself on the 14th.
I got a picture of him the next night. Over like 36 hours after I missed him, I got a picture of him. Ain't seen him since.
Mm-hmm.
Just devastating. Yeah. He was there all year last year.
Biggest regular buck on the place, wasn't he?
Yeah. For sure. And I don't like it at all. I mean, I didn't even hardly hunt there anymore either, but he was gone. So anyway,
do you blame him?
I mean, I wouldn't have thought that would have. He didn't know what happened.
He had no idea.
Because he
stood out there in the field for a while trying to figure out what was going on.
Yeah,
and there was just enough wind.
Mm-hmm.
That, yeah,
there ain't no way he would. I mean, I stopped him before he would have cut our wind.
He didn't smell us. No.
Nope. And he ran to where he couldn't have smelled us either. Mm-hmm. I had his picture the next night, and then never again. And that just breaks my heart, because he's a good deer this year. But, I mean, next year, I just hope he comes back.
Right. You
know? But he never left last year, and he was he had more dominant bucks around him last year, you know, and he stayed around last year. And then I killed the 6x5 last year. That was the only thing bigger than him that was regular there. So I don't know. I just hope he comes back, because he could really be really nice next year.
Yeah.
And then I kind of started hunting that other spot over there, Kaylee's uncle's place. I kind of started hunting there. And I was seeing tons of deer over there, just nothing huge, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And then finally there in second gun season, I slipped in there and I was watching those fawns or little does, whatever they were, messing around, and heard that grunt, and I turned, and I was like, wow, look at that. And I thought, he ain't that nice. And he turned his head, and he looked at me, and I was like, he's wider than I thought he'd be. And
yep.
I guess he is kind of tall, and I thought, I ain't going to see nothing nicer than you the rest of the season, I'm pretty sure.
145 inch nine pointer.
Yeah, he's
Nate's known for not going after second gun season too.
Yeah,
that's for sure. If it happens after second gun season, Nate doesn't know about it.
Yeah. I was looking at him. I was like, he's got a big old dark forehead on him. You know, he looks like he's probably not young.
He's for sure four.
I would think so. Yeah. And then he walks in there like 20 yards with a gun. It's like, well, I think I can do this. <You know? laughs> Yeah. It was fun.
I think the only thing that the Palmer, the other buck, like if there was anything he was not anything he didn't really have going for him, he had kind of short main beams what he was.
For sure.
Like if there was any weak spot, that's the word I was looking for. Mm-hmm. If there's anywhere he was a little bit weak, it was his main beam. So if mm-hmm. he puts on some beams next year, mm-hmm. maybe throws a little junk.
And I still, man, I got pictures of him fighting that trash seven pointer that's like 110 inches, you know, I mean, if that even. But that seven pointer's body, he looks like he's 30 or 40 pounds bigger.
Yeah, but it's just like we were talking about earlier. And when you look at the video of him walking across there, like features, he's a mature deer. Like he was at least 4.5.
So, but like that makes me think, is he 135 inch deer? Nah. And I'm just, you know, because his body's so small, his rack kind of looks big, but is he just that tiny of a deer, you know?
Yeah. I think he's mid 40s for sure, I think.
You had your chance
this year
to find out.
That's right. And like, I want to find.
And then, hey, what's it matter? Because on the wall, they look just as big. No one's going to just keep the tape. Don't let people bring a tape measure.
Yep. I want to find his horn so bad, but I mean,
he's not going to go.
That's very likely as well. But I'm
hard to find him if you don't go, ain't it?
If you can't find it from this recliner, you're not finding him.
Yeah, side by side trails. Oh, look at that. There's one right there. I almost ran it over.
Yeah. And then also second gun season, you got your second buck, which was not on video, so
yeah.
People definitely haven't heard about that one. Well, I don't know if we posted it. I think it was on our Facebook. Maybe. I don't know if it was or not. But anyways, you got your second buck there. What day was that? First day
of gun season.
First day of second season?
First season.
And he was a really nice deer.
Yeah, he was a pretty good deer. Talking to my uncle that day, and where I was gun hunting at, that I knew of, there wasn't really much in there that I was interested in. He's like, come on down here. You know, and so he kind of gave me an option of two or three different stands and stuff on wind direction. I was like, I'll pick the closest one.
There we go.
So, and I helped him put that one up a couple years ago. And anyways, it's pretty good, like, just travel corridor, you know, I mean, coming and going and mm-hmm. looking for does and stuff, you know, in between food plots. And it was getting fairly late, and I was like, man, I haven't seen a deer. So I was like, this evening's like, I'm going to get skunked. Wasn't very long. I seen a doe kind of hop down through the cedars down through there, and then he wasn't 10 foot behind her. I mean, he had his nose down the whole time, and he was only about probably 40 yards then. But he had his head down. I knew he was a good deer. But down there, you want to know what you're shooting.
Right.
And, I mean, I feel we got pictures of most of the deer down there. Unless it, you know, it's one that just moves in or something, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So, anyways, I'm looking at him and trying to watch him. And I'm trying to turn the camera on. And I am not getting anything working right. So,
naturally.
And then he's going to be behind me, and I haven't got anything set up for that. Everything was set up for in front of me. And when he came out, I was in a double tree, so when he came out from behind the tree that came up to my left, I seen what deer it was, and I was like, that's a deer, it's got kickers, you know. I knew what deer it was, and I raised my gun up and I shot him like about 20 yards behind me, something mm-hmm. like that. And he ran out there. Well, he didn't go hardly anywhere. He didn't go 20 yards, you know. And I just got down, walked up to him, and I thought, like, man, pretty nice deer. He might boom, you know. Yeah. But yeah, he was a good deer. If he had a little bit of spread, he would have boomed easy. I mean, but he had tines and everything like that. I mean, he got about as close as you could get without it booming.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. Pretty much. Not closer to that than Nate's deer got to 180 even a couple few years ago now. And that was close, but good one to end the season on anyway.
Yeah.
I wouldn't have passed him, but it was my second buck.
No, I mean, when he was coming in, I mean, what was getting me was a spread. I mean, because he had a rack that kind of came out and then kind of curled back in, and it really wasn't.
Mm-hmm.
It wouldn't show him how big he really was, you know, until I seen the way his kickers was. And then I was like, well, I've seen several pictures of this deer. So yeah. I knew what he was, how old he was and stuff like that. And what we actually thought he would boom, but he was close, but not, he didn't boom.
Yeah. That was kind of the opposite of your buck, because you could see on the video too, like when he's looking straight, he doesn't look all that impressive. And then you're like, You see him, you're like, yeah, there's a nice buck. And then he turns, and you're like, oh, there's a nice buck.
Because
once he turned and he was outside of his ears, like you said, he's pretty good height.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he wasn't like super heavy, but kind of the opposite, the one you're talking about, where looking away from you, he looked pretty good. Looking towards you, it was like, man, I don't know.
Yeah.
Especially for your second one.
I dang near let him walk, you know. And I mean, he's almost 170.
Right.
But, I mean, he's just... I mean, he was a moving, and I mean, I was trying to, I didn't want to mess up on, you know, shooting the wrong deer, because, I mean, he had the frame, but I was like, man, if he's a 4-year-old, he's going to be a giant, you know. But once I seen what deer it was, I knew he was at least a 5-year-old deer.
Mm-hmm.
We'd had pictures of him last year. He may have been 6, but he was at least 5. And it was just like, cock the hammer and shoot him. Mm-hmm. I mean, because I shot him like, right behind me, last spot I could shoot.
Uh-huh.
And, it all worked out pretty good.
Yep. That was, of the bucks that we killed this year, that was the only one that wasn't on video, right? Of us in here? The ones that we killed? Oh, yeah, I forgot you killed your second one that wasn't on video.
Yeah.
He was similar to my buck.
Yeah.
We killed 2 deer that wants to go fishing.
Yeah. Yeah. 2 of those. I forgot about him already.
Yeah. How could you forget about Nate?
All I ever got was a Snapchat picture of him. Oh. You said something like, not the buck I thought he was. Or something like that. I was like, that's Nate.
Yeah.
Because that was before I shot mine. We had two of them.
Did he have like an underbite or an overbite on him?
He had the same crooked nose as he does.
Yeah, he had a crooked nose, too. Yeah. I can just remember his nose being messed up. I didn't
know. Yeah.
And it was short.
It was real short, too.
Yeah.
It's like his bottom jaw stuck out further, but it was just because his nose was short and crooked.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Typical for that part of the country.
No. Not that part.
That's like some of those deer over there, the meth head deer we talk about all the time.
Yeah, yeah. They find some labs and get around them.
Something in the water.
And they don't stop running. Maybe that's what was wrong with your fawn.
Maybe.
That thing, I hope it ran out in front of a car.
Yeah. It was, overall, though, a pretty good year. Mm-hmm. I mean, as far as killing deer, getting them on camera. And honestly, when you'd said you'd killed yours, you never said anything about the camera. I was like, I'm not even going to ask. I don't care. Because honestly, I was just happy that you killed the deer, because I knew which one it was, and he was one of the ones you wanted to shoot, and he was a really nice deer. But I was also thinking, like, I'm not even going to ask, because he didn't know. He didn't bring it up. He didn't mention it was on camera. I'm just assuming that means he didn't even have the thing with him. So.
No, I had it with me. I'm good about at least taking it. Yeah. Well, I say that, but
right.
No, I put it in the camera in the that hole.
You didn't even really know.
And was just hoping for the best.
Yeah. I knew I wasn't going to ask. I figured that meant you didn't get it.
I didn't even look. I was just going to be like, I told you, like, I don't know if I got on camera. You can decide.
It turned out really good.
Yeah. Got lucky for once.
Like, especially self-filming, that was rock solid.
Yeah. I just wish I could have got more, but I was pinned down. I couldn't.
All the bucks we killed this year were self-filmed, except for Dawson's.
Yeah.
All the ones on camera were self-filmed. All of ours.
Mm-hmm.
You missed the one when I was filming for you. And then any other time, I don't think we got any other shots with anybody filming.
Mm-mm.
If you'd have been with me that afternoon after we went and stood in the rain that morning, that deer still didn't really give me a shot, but.
When was that?
We went and sat there where the split buck was.
Between gun seasons.
Yep. This was like this. I forget what day it was. We went and we hung and hunt. There were the deer right underneath of us while we were hanging the stands.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. We did get wet. Yeah. We got wet bad.
Yep. And we saw that young 8-pointer. Mm-hmm. And I really think either he was over there all morning or he came in like late morning, early afternoon and bedded down over there.
Mm-hmm.
Where he ended up coming from that evening. Mm-hmm. So, like, if we just sat there all day, maybe we would have saw him, but he could have already been there anyway.
Yeah.
But, yeah, that evening is the first encounter I had with that buck when he was at 40 yards, but I didn't have a shot.
Yep.
And then saw him one more time. I think I just saw him one more time. Yeah, the other one, I saw another buck I would have shot there. It wasn't him. And then he ended up getting shot by the neighbors. But while we were all filming together, that was the only shot we got while somebody else was in a tree with somebody, right? You guys didn't have any. We didn't have any.
Nate, me might have seen that one morning. And that's the rainstorm.
And then me and him saw the two that morning. You missed yours.
Yeah.
But, like, other than that, just happened to be when we were by ourselves, which is that much more challenging. But they all turned out pretty good, I thought. Hey, everybody, thanks for listening to another episode of the Ridge Hunter Outdoors Podcast. If you've made it to this point, hopefully you're enjoying the show. And if you are, go over to our Facebook page and our Instagram. Give us a follow. It's Ridge Hunter Outdoors. We also have a private Facebook group. That's Ridge Hunter Nation. You can go over there and answer a couple questions. And if you're a regular listener of the podcast or you watch any of our shows on YouTube or Carbon TV, you get in that group and just use it as your normal hunting group. Share your success, your failures, pictures, whatever you got, and we'll also give you some extra content in there. I'll ask questions on that, maybe do some surveys occasionally, and we'll also give you guys the opportunity to ask questions for any of our guests that we might have coming on, if we have them lined up in time and that's available. You'll find that at Ridge Hunter Nation. That's on Facebook. Our website is ridgehunteroutdoors.com. That's where you're going to see our scent line, Ridge Hunter Scents, our buck tarsal spray, doe tarsal spray, and our calming spray. All of our apparel is available on the website, and our food plot seed, when it is in stock, is available on the website too. If you want any of that stuff, make sure you use our discount code RHOPOD or full draw, all caps on either of those, no space, and you get 10% off your entire order. We also have our entire catalog of podcasts on the website, and our video series are available on there as well. If you're listening on Apple Podcasts or Spotify or any other audio platform, give us a like, follow, subscribe, whatever it lets you do, and that'll let you guys know when our episodes come out. They're not always as consistent as we want them to be, but we try to shoot for Monday and Friday. Sometimes it gets on a Tuesday or a Saturday maybe for an episode, and that way you'll know when they come out. It also really helps us without costing you anything. If you're listening to this on YouTube, hopefully you're already subscribed to the channel. If you're not, make sure you do that. If you're not listening to this on YouTube and you're not subscribed, make sure you go over there and do that at Ridge Hunter Outdoors, just like everything else. That's where you'll find our Fall Pursuit Show, Spring Strutting, all of our off-season vlogs will be on there, and much more. If you guys see a video or are listening to a podcast on there and you're enjoying it, just drop us a comment. Hey, good show. Really enjoyed it. Something simple. Give the video a like. That really, really helps us out. And again, it doesn't take much of your time at all. You can also find Fall Pursuit on Carbon TV, and Spring Strutting will be on there this spring as well. So make sure you go over to Carbon TV. They have a lot of great shows to offer, and ours will be on there also. Thanks for listening, guys. We really appreciate you tuning in when you do. Now let's get back to the episode. We got all of them, the shot, at least a little bit of pre-roll, and then them going down. I think all four of them over in here went down on camera too, right?
Mine was just barely. I mean, just barely.
Yeah, but you got a good editor. Yeah. He shall remain nameless. But yours went down on camera. Well, he was right there.
I was zooming in too much.
Yeah, you just kind of, I think you kind of got ahead of him a little bit, but
yeah,
he ended up, you could see him flopping.
Yeah.
Well, once you got it back over there.
And the rainstorms that we had the days before, my lock controller got ruined.
Yep.
So
That sucks, don't it?
That was part of the problem there.
Yep.
That's part of the problem why I didn't get the camera, the kill hole very great. Mm-hmm.
And then yours was down, you know, like 30 yards.
Yeah, he didn't go very far at
maybe
all.
40.
Mm-hmm. We just tracked him for the kids to get in practice, really. Yep. Cause,
well, I remember I walked in the house that night after you'd texted us and said you had one down. Walked in there and you were showing me the video. And you hadn't said anything about seeing him go down yet.
Yeah.
And I watched it, and I saw you hit him, and I saw this, because it's on the screen about that big, and I saw this little deer run up, and then he just kind of disappeared into the beans. And I was like, what? And I kind of caught the drift in, because the kids are standing there. I was like, oh, yeah. Like, yeah, he freaking went down right there. What are you talking about?
Yeah. Yeah, I like watching them find him.
Oh, yeah. So. Yeah, that was fun. Good end of the episode too, I thought.
Yeah, it's a, you know, I got to rely on them tracking deer for me. You've seen my tracking experience.
Yes, after this year, I definitely know what you're talking
me
about.
Me wandering around with a flashlight, basically.
It's got to be a speck. It's got to be a spot at least as big around the top of this can.
After you show it to me.
Exactly. And pretty drastically different in contrast from what's around it. Otherwise, yeah.
Every now and then, I find a spot, and I'm pretty excited usually when I do.
And I'm like, no, Dusty, that's water.
Yeah.
Are you sure?
Taste it.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a challenge for me.
Oh, we put it to the test a couple times, too.
Oh, yeah.
Man.
Yeah.
But.
Yeah, your deer. I mean, I was excited to get up to him, and I was really wanting to track him too
because it was in the snow. Right, you were going to be able to see it.
Yep. But the next day, we got to go back and retrack him.
That's right, we tracked the arrow.
Yeah,
because that was weird too because it didn't go all the way through him, partially because it was wobbling like a top or like a what do they call those things? Those punching things that they pop back up or whatever. Weeble wobbles. I think that's part of the reason it didn't go all the way through him, and it hit his offside leg or shoulder or whatever, so that
it
didn't help.
Barely poked through.
Well, it did
right?
go through him, I guess, but it didn't just clean pass through, right? Because
right.
then when I got up to him, there was about that much of the knock and the fleshing in the shaft laying with him. And I thought, well, the rest of it maybe is in him. I thought maybe it went in and worked its way back with the knock coming out. Well, what happened was it went almost all the way through him, got hung up, he broke off the rest of the shaft, and then that piece fell out when he died.
Yeah.
But yeah, we did go back and track the arrow and found it on him. I think I texted you maybe that day or the day before because you was asking about going. I said, well, so we might have to leave him. You know, I said, if I kill him right there at last light and we don't see him go down, we might have to leave him because I got to run up to Centralia or whatever. You said, well, I don't think they're going to spoil. It's supposed to be 15 degrees that night.
Yeah, I wasn't worried about any of that.
Yeah. But then sure enough, it was, I don't know, I shot him about 45 minutes before last light, probably.
That would have sucked if you left him and the coyotes would have ripped his antlers off.
Run off with him. Yeah, I didn't even think about that.
Me neither.
Fortunately, he went down inside and we loaded him up. But, yeah, I didn't have to do the tracking on that.
Yeah, and he was, what we drag him 60 yards?
Yeah,
maybe?
Back to where he was, basically, when I shot him.
Yeah.
Not too bad. So
that's what we used Dawson for a little bit this year. Mm-hmm. A little bit of dragging him.
Yep. Earning his keep.
My family had a heck of a year. I mean, mm-hmm. We all killed some nice deer. You know, Kelby actually.
The whole group.
Yeah. Yeah. Kelby killed her very first deer solo.
Mm-hmm.
I wish I could have been there to film that, but there was no way. It's like cutting out of a telephone pole in there. You know? Used to have a bunch of ash tree in there. They all died.
Oh yeah.
And
like all the other ash trees.
Oh yeah. It's a jungle in there. Mm-hmm. And anyways, there was just no way of setting up. Where I was gonna set up on the ground, it wouldn't have worked out. The deer actually came from that away, came from behind too, so
duck dad.
It could have been like that. So it didn't work out then.
What do you know about that, Nate?
I hear it makes people awful upset.
I was not upset at all.
There was a turkey that was.
Yeah, he was not too happy.
Oh. Yeah, you got a turkey this year too.
Yeah, I did. First turkey with the bow.
And you could have killed a horse.
I definitely, I could have shot one.
Yeah.
That was the craziest fucking thing.
Might have wanted to.
It about killed me. In the heart attack stand.
The heart attack stand.
We named, it was the same stand that you sat the night me and Nate went out there and filmed. Yep. Out of, that was sketchy. I don't know if we can tell that story yet or not.
I think I'm still mad about it.
I don't think the statute of limitations is up on that one. No. To release it to the public. But anyway, I'll tell you about that afterwards. He was sitting in that same stand, but, and you said something, we're going to have to call it the heart attack stand. Well, so I go back and hunt it there. That was the day it was snowing, right? Or, no, it was before. That was the time before it was snowing.
Yeah.
And I'm looking back over my shoulder because you just can't see much of anything until they're right on top of you.
Oh, it's tough.
And I'm looking out over where they should be coming from, and I hear something on the tracks. I'm like, man, that sounds big. And I turn over my left shoulder, and I'm like, oh, my God. It's a freaking horse walking down the railroad tracks. And my first thought was, that's a dang moose.
There has been elk spotted in this area.
Yeah, right? And it walked past it like 15 yards. And dinged around back there for a little bit, and then it walked back literally underneath of the stand. I could have jumped down on top of it and not hurt either of us. And I went, whoosh, 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 and it just never stopped. It like stopped and put its ears up for a second and kept walking, but like, I could have spit on the thing. It walked right underneath.
You should have shot him and be like, these guys ain't going to believe what I just shot.
Well, I texted him, and I said, you're not going to believe what I just saw. And he said, what's that? Or what'd you say, a bobcat?
Bobcat?
And I was like, no, way bigger. And he goes, really? And I said, yeah, and I sent him the video. I was like, it was a freaking horse. Yeah.
Next thing was, mountain lion?
Yeah.
Horse wasn't coming into mind.
I don't know why. Yeah. Because there shouldn't have been a horse in that particular spot. But, yeah, that was.
Did he come from Kings or did he come from Blueford?
Who knows? He could have circled around from either one. He didn't look like he'd been in Keene, so. Oh, man. That was... Definitely helped the name of the heart attack. Yeah,
actually, that evening, the guy, the owner of the horse, messaged me and asked me if I'd had him on any game cameras. I was like, well, the guy hunting with me actually had him walk underneath me. I said, yeah. I didn't know it was your horse.
He spine shot him.
Yeah.
That was the evening I killed that turkey. And had I had two permits, I could have killed the other one because it was two toms. They were just making all kinds of noise walking through there. I ended up seeing, or it was two Jakes, I'm sorry. I saw two toms later, or three, and a group of hens walked right by out in front of me. But they came in just making all kinds of noise, and I shot that one, and it went, I don't know, 10 yards and died. Mm-hmm. And then that other one came back, and it stood there for like 20 minutes. Just
I think same place Nate killed his during the spring.
It is. Yep.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Right. I mean, the tree that we killed that one under was 10 yards in front of me. Or 20
really?
Yards in front of me. Yep. Yep. Same group of birds.
Yeah.
So you know how thick it is.
Very.
Yeah.
Very.
Yeah.
It's one of them things you sit there and you'll be looking and all of a sudden you're like, there's a deer looking at me, right? I mean, it just pop up.
That happened the night it snowed when I went back. Man. I stood up to put my I looked around. Looked around, stood up, turned around and got my coat and was putting it on. And I'm putting my arm in the left sleeve and I look over and there's that goofy one that looked like a small version of Dawson's gun buck.
Yeah.
And he's standing there in that trail by that tree they rub on. He was just looking at me. I was like, where'd you come from?
Yeah.
I don't know. He had to have been laying right there, but he eventually went back to doing what he was doing. But yeah, it's like, they're just right there.
Oh yeah. Yeah. In both sides. I mean, even when they show up, pop out on the other side.
Oh, yeah.
You know, they're like right there, and you're like, oh, gosh.
Yeah.
In turkey season, we saw a buck that was growing decent right there.
Yep.
As we were videoing the recovery after the shot, I mean, he came up, and he was very close, too.
Oh, yeah. I mean, he was 20 yards, 30 yards away right there. He did look like he was going to be a decent buck. I don't know which one it would have been. He just had...
Names,
at that time, but yep,
found a shed too, right?
Yeah, we did find a shed.
Yeah,
little bitty thing.
See, he doesn't even remember his own.
You're the one that saw it.
I just busy packing a turkey out.
Yeah, he was happy.
I think it was a forkhorn. There was 2 points on it. Anyway, yeah. but
I do remember the pictures we took by the no trespassing.
Yeah.
Yep.
I was like, send this to Dusty.
that's the next thing we got coming up. Other than just regular podcast schedule, we got spring strutting coming up again. That'll be on Carbon TV. I'm going to have all of last year's episodes will be, I'll put those up on Carbon TV here, probably March, right before turkey season. And then we'll have some episodes coming up. Did you put in for turkey permits?
Yes.
Okay, good. Did you get them?
I don't know.
Okay. I tried to get Jefferson County first season on the second draw, but I didn't get it.
Yeah.
So I got Wayne County
second
season.
Is it over?
There's one more.
Third lottery starts here in the next 2 or 3 days.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Second's been drawn.
Yeah.
Yep. I need to check and see if we got them. Surely we did.
Yeah. I was surprised I didn't get that one in Jefferson, but I don't know if they're...
You didn't?
No. Wow.
Jefferson usually goes quick.
Well, they have pretty good harvest numbers every year, so there's a lot of turkey hunting over there. Right. And it was first season, so guys are going to want to go opening day, what I figured. But anyway, I think it's a good place to wrap up the end of season campfire for... This is our third one?
Oh, man. Probably. Yeah. 22,
23, 24. We started in September 21, so... Can't believe we've made it this long.
Neither anybody else.
That's right. If anybody out there has been listening the whole time, I'm sorry. But you guys got anything to leave the people with?
Nope. Already got plans in my head. Start on working on for deer hunting next year already. Yep. So
25, season 3 for Fall Pursuit. Mm-hmm. Be coming at you in the fall.
Don't pay attention to negative comments on Facebook.
That's right. Yeah. That's right. If we've learned anything this year.
I suppose I'll ask you about your ash patch. Was it just pretty much solid ash trees?
No, it was a mix in there, but right around where that stand was, it was a lot of them had died right in there.
I bet I got 3 acres. I mean, just ash trees, all the same size. Softball size to basketball size, you know, just growing out there just amongst themselves. And it looks like you dumped a can of toothpicks out, you know. Yeah. They just all fell every which way. But the deer have started pushing through them, you know. But they lay in there a lot. I mean, there's patches, the briars. I honestly think they're 15 foot high growing up in them piles, you know. So anyway, I don't know what to do with it. I think I'm just going to leave it alone.
Oh, just leave it.
If anything, I do want to cut a trail through there, coming out where I want them to, because me and you walking in that one day, last year, we were easing down the edge of that food plot, and something great big took off. I mean, right there, we about stepped on it. We had to be within 10 yards of it. Something went crashing through there. Yep. There's no way that was a doe, you know? But anyway, I think I'll just leave it alone other than clearing a path.
That's what we did. We cleared 2 paths and then put a mock scrape out. Mm-hmm. That's what we did.
Let them have it.
Yep. Yep. This year, we're going to cut a road on the south side of it. And I'm going to pop up a couple shooting houses in there. Mm-hmm. It's hard to get back in there in one spot, but shooting house, I can go sit all day in that. You know, and I think that's, well, I don't think that's what we are going to do. We're going to put up 2 shooting houses in there.
Pack the lunch.
Yep.
Christmas trees.
That's right.
Yep.
That's right.
Another spot I hunt, Canyon. I got permission for him to go with me in there. So we're going to set up for that.
Yeah, there was some good deer in there late season.
There was some good deer.
Two of them were really nice deer.
Yeah. It's amazing. What deer show up in there, especially the pressure that gets put around it.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it's up on top of the hill, big bottoms around all of it. It's the only brush around, you know, so they come to it.
Yep, yep. They got to this time of year. Yep. So hopefully everybody else had a good season. I appreciate you guys that listened to us all year on the podcast, watched all the shows and everything, and we'll have more of it coming up. But if you guys... had some success this year. Let us know. We did have officially the winner of the Big Buck Contest with Sean Mitchell, so congrats to him. He won it for 2024. We'll try to do that again next year. So be on the lookout for that here. I'll probably start posting about it in August or September next year. But congrats to him. 149.
Really nice deer.
Yep. Deer would have went, he would have went 150 on the dot. He had a broken point that was 7/8 of an inch.
Oof.
Yeah, so it was 1/8 of an inch from count. I tried really hard. It was an 1/8 of an inch from counting. So I couldn't count it as even 7/8. It had to be zero. So he was really 149 and 7/8, but it didn't count. So he's an eighth of an inch from 150 on the dot.
Who won the contest we were in?
He didn't do it or hasn't shown nothing. Like, the only two groups that killed doubles is your group and my group. That gentleman that I was with, he killed a nice one. You killed a nice one. I killed a nice one. And that your guy that you shot a little one. I mean, you need to message him.
Yeah. Wasn't there like a 170-something killed?
Yeah, but that guy was just by himself. Like, his partner didn't kill one.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So it could be close. Well, you know, your guys' group probably should have.
That's hope. Bring me that money.
Yeah. So, because, I mean, yours was, you know, in the upper 40s, and then what did your partner kill?
It was a nice one.
One other, while you're figuring that out, one other place we will be coming up will be the Iowa Deer Classic and the Illinois Deer Classic. Both be in March. We'll be there, too. So if you guys listen up in that part of the world, make sure you stop by and see us. We'll be, for the Iowa one, we're off kind of on, I don't even remember what hall they call it. It's not the big main hall, but it's the other one. We're by the escalators every year, so we'll be over there.
Are you going to be there, cowboy?
Yes.
How do we keep the women away?
I was getting ready to say, you just blew our cover. We have women all over the place.
Carry a big stick.
We know that.
Yeah, that's not got anything to do with
it. Probably see me hunting in Kansas next year, too.
There we go. That'll be
good.
Yep. I'm planning on going to Kansas. I think me and Dawson are going to go out there.
Sweet.
When do you put in for tags on that?
Well, hopefully we'll get to draw. I don't know exactly. I'll have to talk to Ross on that. But anyways, I don't really know how it's set up. It wasn't a draw, but it is now, right?
Yep. Yep. Yeah. We just went to it last year, 2 years ago. But you heard it here first. Dusty's killing $3 next year instead of just two.
Well, let's hope.
What will you be hunting out there? What's it look like?
Deer. Big ones.
I mean, like flat weed fields.
Cedar and grass. Yeah. A lot of cedar patches.
Yeah.
Like Kansas, you think of kind of thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. From what I seen on some of the pictures of the deer that was sent to me, that it was big draws, rolling grass, and then cedar patches.
Man.
Because one of them he filmed walked out of a cedar patch and just that big white rack walking down, you know, like what we watch on TV.
Yeah. Yep. Stereotypical.
Yeah. You know, and I was talking to Canyon about that. I was like, how, with the soil and everything, how do they get that big out there? You know, I mean, the genetics are, there's some big deer there.
Yep.
There is.
We're looking forward to that, too. That'll be good.
Of course, they can feed them, too.
Yeah, they can. That makes probably does. So I've heard people talk about that. We'll leave it on this one because I don't want to run this thing too long. But I've heard people say that, and I'll agree with this, like it's not magic. You can't just put mineral out for 1 year and that buck's now going to be, what would have been 135 is now going to be 116-inch buck, right? But consistently doing it year over year, like a lot of people have noticed. I don't know if they've done any big studies on it, but at least anecdotally they've noticed like, hey, if you consistently do this, it's going to help those deer achieve their potential.
Yeah.
Because especially you look like right now, if you're feeding them, that's the best food they're going to get right now. You know, and especially if you're adding, if it's good stuff, it's not just, you're not just throwing out corn piles or, you know, you got, you're adding some minerals in the mix and stuff like that.
Right.
You know,
that's what we lack, mineral, you know, but I don't know. I wish we could. We can't. I can put all the food I want out for them. But I can't put no mineral out for them.
Yep.
And I wish I could.
Maybe one day we'll have enough power in the state of Illinois to do something about that. But that's not today. So
nope.
We can dream, though. I do think that would be a benefit. So thanks, everybody, for tuning in. We'll wrap this thing up, get out of here, and then we'll catch you next week.